turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to begin reading at verse number 18. I want to preach today on the subject that is actually pulled from one of the verses within our text. And the thought is simply this: you are come to Mount Zion. You are come to Mount Zion. And we're going to recognize that statement within the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse number 18. The Bible says, "For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and with that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they cannot endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion." Now there's our statement. "But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, this morning, we thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you today for the music that has warmed our hearts and blessed us. And today now, Father, as we approach the Scriptures, your precious holy word, may our minds be clear, our hearts fertile, and may the Holy Spirit of God today see fit to bless and help us to see more clearly the wonderful person of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and see the privileges that apply to the people of God. And then, Father, if there's someone here this morning that is not among the redeemed, God, I pray today the Spirit of God would touch them, remind them of their need of the Savior more than life itself, more than religion. They need the Savior. And God, today, speak to hearts and bless the message. Thank you for the good music again and the Sunday school hour earlier this morning. Now bless the preaching of the Word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I love this particular portion of the book of Hebrews. In fact, the book of Hebrews could very well be my favorite book in all the Bible, the book of Hebrews. I love the teachings in this precious chapter. On one hand, and I believe the writer of Hebrews was the apostle, but on one hand, the apostle said, "You're not come to the mount." And then he also, in the same context, says, "You are come. You are come. We're not come to Mount Sinai." But he says, "You are come to Mount Zion." And I consider that passage of Scripture, and I've got to tell you, in preparation and studying for the message this morning, I certainly was blessed as I got to reflecting upon what I think is the context of this precious, powerful text before our eyes. You are come to Mount Zion. I've got to begin this morning by mentioning the fact that this applies to a particular group of people. This applies to people that know the Lord. This applies to the people of God. This applies to saved people. It is not true that unsaved people are come to Mount Zion. So obviously, the application of this text is restricted to the people of God. Now let me begin by just kind of breaking it down just a tad and giving a little bit of an introduction to the passage here before us. The people in this text, who I believe were Jewish believers, these people, many of them, had a tendency to spend too much time at the base of Mount Sinai, and they subjected themselves too oftentimes to the fears associated with the law. The argument of this great book is to go on into maturity. The argument of the book is to get your eyes on Christ and off of Moses. The argument of the book is to recognize the privileges of grace in contrast to the bondage of the law. Many of these people had a tendency to still look with favor towards the law and towards Moses and towards the Old Testament system. But the writer of Hebrews would admonish them to go on to maturity, to recognize that Jesus Christ is a fulfillment, and His blood is a fulfillment of all of the blood that had stained Jewish altars. So it reminds them, no longer is there to be a need of the blood that stained the Jewish altars, for by one offering hath He perfected forever them that are sanctified. And that's the argument of the book. He's saying, take your eyes off the Jewish altars and put your eyes upon the blood that Jesus Christ shed. He said, you are come to Mount Zion. I look at this verse this morning and I can see my name, thank God, written in that text. You're come to Mount Zion. Oh, there's so much here that doesn't meet the eye that I pray today the Holy Spirit will help us to understand just a little bit more clearly. First of all, today, as we approach this passage of Scripture, let me say this. And again now, this applies to all of you today that have trusted Christ as Savior. This applies to every one of you today in this service that can look back on a time and know that you placed your trust in Christ's finished work and God saved you. You can see your name here in this precious text. Number one, you're come to the place of your residence. That's my first point. You're come to the place of your residence. Here in this passage of Scripture, we've read here many, many precious portions of Scripture. Very many precious truths. For example, the heavenly Jerusalem. Did you see those words there as we read that? The heavenly Jerusalem. You're come to Mount Sinai. We are not come. Listen to me this morning. We are not come to Mount Sinai. We're come to Mount Zion. We're not coming to the law. We're coming to grace. We're coming to the place of our residence, the heavenly Jerusalem. You say now, preacher, how in the world do you see that in that text? I see that in that text as I compare this text with other texts. I see this in the fact that God's people are seated in heavenlies in Christ Jesus. I see this when I compare Scripture with Scripture and know today that the people of God, saved people, already have a heavenly citizenship. We already have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My, think about that. You are come to the place of your residence, the holy city, New Jerusalem, as it were, heavenly Jerusalem. Ye are not come. Paul would tell these people here the truth. You're not come to Mount Sinai, or Mount Sinai, which had the tempest, which had the threatenings, which had the lightnings, which had the fear, that if a beast would even touch Mount Sinai, the beast would die. I'm talking about the law. I'm talking about the Old Testament passage pertaining to the law. Moses was taken up on the mount, and that mount was set apart. If a person would touch that mount, they could die. Those Jewish people, the base of that mountains, they heard the thunderings, they saw the lightnings, and they lived in a state of fear and threatening. But God said, you're not come to Mount Sinai. You're come to Mount Zion. The law is no longer the question. The law is no longer the standard. Because Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law. No longer under the law, but under grace. Someone said, under the law, with his tenfold lash, learning alas but true, the more I tried, the sooner I died, and the law cried, you, you, you. No longer would he have them to understand they were under the law. He would say, now you're under grace. No longer there are threatenings. But now, at Mount Zion, there's an invitation. It's not a matter of being threatened any longer. Thank God. It's a matter of an invitation. He would remind them of that. You know, every Jew was knowledgeable of three mountains. You know that? Three mountains. Every Jew was knowledgeable of three mountains. First of all, Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. Sounds, noises, threatenings, and pronouncements. There's another mountain Jewish people were familiar with, Mount Moriah. Mount Sinai was known for its sounds and for its threatenings. But Mount Moriah was a place of sacrifice and promise. It was Mount Moriah that Abraham takes up his son Isaac. Abraham is going to slay his son. And God stopped him. We know the question was asked, where's the lamb? God said, you know the passage, Genesis chapter 22. The lamb was provided. Where's the lamb? God will provide himself a lamb. You know that. So you know. Now, in Sinai, there were sounds. There were threatenings. In Moriah, there was a sacrifice. There was a promise. Because the sacrifice that was made looked forward down through the periods of time to that grand sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As that lamb was slain that day on Mount Moriah, we can understand that the Lamb of God was slain on Calvary. The Jew knew about that mountain. They knew about Mount Sinai with its threatenings and with its sounds. They knew about Mount Moriah with its sacrifice and its promise. But there's another mountain that the Jewish people were familiar with, and that's Mount Zion. Mount Zion. Mount Zion speaks of security and peace. Security and peace. To the Jew, Mount Sinai meant security and peace. Now, the Bible says in this precious passage of Scripture, here's what it says. It says you come to the General Assembly. I like that. The General Assembly. Ponder that for just a moment. God says you're come to a General Assembly. You know an assembly, the nature of an assembly determines attitude and emotion. Now, bear with me for just a moment. The nature of an assembly determines attitude or emotion. Here's what I mean by that. The type of people you gather with determine emotion. If you're around a bunch of unkept, uncouth, ungodly, wicked people, you know your attitude and your emotion will be different than when you're around people that are loving, kind, upright, and good. Would you agree this morning that emotions in the assembly of a church house like here would make you feel better, relax, be comfortable, more content than if you were out here meeting in the middle of a bunch of thugs somewhere where you couldn't determine what their intentions might be? You know, the assembly determines a person's emotion. What about a funeral? How do you feel at a funeral? What about a wedding? How do you feel at a wedding? What about a family reunion? How do you feel at a family reunion? The people in attendance determine attitude and emotion. How do you feel when you attend a meeting, let's say, among those that oppose you or even hate you? How do you feel about attending a meeting where you find people who love you? The gathering site. Back to our text again. The gathering site for the meeting of the saints is not Mount Sinai, but Mount Zion. Mount Sinai represents the threatening of the law, while Mount Zion represents the security of grace. This is the assembly. God's people today have a good assembly. God's people today are identified with people that should make us happy. make us joyful. What accounts, I ask you? What accounts for a morbid, insecure, and unhappy state of mind on the part of so many professing Christians? I can tell you one thing that could probably account for it. They're assembled at the wrong mountain. They're at the base of the wrong mountain. If I believe that I have to keep the law, and I have to strive and persevere, and I have to subject myself to rigorous disciplines in order to meet God's approval, and in order to be saved, I would be of all men most miserable. But I'll tell you, when by faith I got to the base of the cross of Calvary, and God saved my soul, I found myself now basking in the sunshine of the grace of Mount Zion. Mount Calvary is the first place we need to visit. You are come to Mount Zion. Number two, you're come not only to the place of Mount Zion, you're come to the pleasures of redemption. You're come to the pleasures of redemption. Mount Zion. Oh, what about that place? What about what the psalmist said? What about what we sing about? Psalm 48, verse number 2. Have you ever heard this verse? Beautiful for situations. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. How about that? How about that? You are come. You are come. Thank God it doesn't say you at one time came. It says you are come. You know, there's... Never miss the tense of Scripture. Never miss it. You are come. Today is what? May what? May 21st. May 21st, 2017. God says today you are come, Christian. You are come today to Mount Zion. Present tense. Present tense. You know, salvation, I'm talking about, means a new citizenship in the city of the living God. The Bible calls it the heavenly Jerusalem. Ephesians 2:6 hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm amazed that you and I can read that verse and have a stone look on our face when we read it. I'm amazed that we can come to church sometimes and we can sit in church service with a look on our face like, bless me, preacher, if you can. I can't bless you anyway, but I'll tell you, God sure can. But my goodness, think about that. Already seated in the heavenlies. We're already at Mount Zion. We're already at the city, the new Jerusalem on high. Thank God today. Brush away that frown. Put a smile there for a change. You're come to the pleasures of redemption. That place was a place of pleasure. Mount Zion is not fear. Mount Zion's pleasure. A place of pleasure. You know, one of the best ways to determine value is to consider the opposite. One of the best ways to consider to determine value is to consider the opposite. I illustrate it like this. Light is brighter to eyes that once were blind. Liberty is sweeter to those once in bondage. Peace is greater to those who knew the threat of war. Clothing is more comforting to those who once wore rags and were exposed to nakedness. Food is much more satisfying to those that once starved. Forgiveness and redemption is precious to those who were once in bondage to sin and misery. Oh, look at that assembly site. Mount Zion. No longer a place of fear. No longer a place of bondage. Not a place that included threats, thunderings, and warnings. But no, Mount Zion. The place where God's people inhabit. Number three, You're coming to the presence of the registered. The registered. Now, if you want to follow the chronology of my thought, here's what I said first of all. You're come to the place of your residence. Remember that? You're come to the place of your residence. Number two. You're come to the pleasure of your redemption. Place of residence, pleasure of redemption. Number three, you're come to into the presence of the registered. The presence of the registered. You know what, my friend? One of the worst problems that happens so oftentimes in church services, we get too much focused more upon what the preacher is saying than upon what the text is saying. Let's stay with the text. I want you to notice something. I'd much rather right now you look at the text and look at me even. I want to show you something. You're come, the Bible says. We're come into the presence of the registered. Notice this, Church of the Living God. It reads there, doesn't it? Church of the Living God. Church of the Firstborn. That's what it says. Church of the Firstborn. Notice something else. Written in heaven. Again, smile. Enjoy that. Written in heaven. Have you ever attended a meeting? Now, before I go further with my point here, God says that God's people are coming to Mount Zion, Church of the Living God, registers in heaven. God says that right here in this text. Have you ever, by the way, attended a meeting, you were directed to a counter, and there's a clerk with a registry of attendees. They ask your name. They look into the register. They find your name, and then they seat you. You've been to a meeting like that? Sure you have. In other words, you've signed up for a particular meeting. Your name's on a registry. You go attend the meeting. There's a clerk that takes care of all of that, and you give them your name. They find your name, and then they seat you. You might think that I have separated myself from the text, but I have not. What about the Lamb's Book of Life? Thank God our name, Christian, is in the registry. Our name is there. And I'll tell you something this morning. God doesn't have an eraser on His pencil. If your name ever gets written in the Lamb's Book of Life, thank God it'll stay there. It'll never be taken out. I don't know how you seek to prove that point with your religion, but I can tell you how I can prove it with the Bible, if you'll let me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 10:28. There's going to be one of these days some accounting that's going to go on before the bar of God in heaven when people stand there attempting to justify themselves by their religion. They're going to say, well, I was taught this. I was taught that. Our preacher taught us this. Our preacher taught us that. I can appreciate Bible preachers like anyone else because by God's grace it's what I happen to be. But I'm going to tell you something. You're far safer off doing what the Bible says and even what a preacher says. I mean, let's get our standard from the Scriptures, though. Here's the problem people get into all the time. They take a passage of Scripture and run with it and build a doctrine around it sometimes and formulate a religion around it instead of looking at Scripture context with context with context with context. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. When the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. Eternal means everlasting. Amen. How can we parse that away? I give unto them eternal life. There's no stipulator there. The only condition to be saved and have eternal life is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That's what the Bible says. If that clashes with what our religion says, banish the religion, but claim the Scriptures. That'll be the book that'll judge us. Coming back, though, to the text. The name is in the registry. Check out the total registry. Hey, there's something else here we need to see in the text. Oh, let me read it again. Let me read it. All right, look please with me at verse 23. Well, verse 22. You're come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Notice who we are associated with, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, notice, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, the spirit of just men made perfect. Check out this total registry. Just men made perfect. You know that Christians today are seated in the heavenlies in Christ. And we are associated in a spiritual way. Bodily, we're still on planet Earth. But we still, in the eyes of God, are associated with men, or the just men made perfect. Like the verse said, look at it. Spirits of just men made perfect. Who's that? I'll tell you who it is. I believe we're talking about Abraham. I believe we're talking about Isaac. I believe we're talking about Jacob. I believe we're talking about the Old Testament saints. Old Testament saints. Where are they? Not in the graves. Bodies are, yes. But you see, when Jesus died and led captivity captive, those Old Testament saints, I don't want to get in over my head here, but I'm just going to keep it simple and say this. When Jesus died and was resurrected, He led captivity captive. And I believe right now, the spirits, the soul, the spirits, and the just men made perfect, those Old Testament saints are in heaven right now. They're in heaven. Let me challenge you with a thought. Jesus went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. Is it true that Moses and Elijah appeared also on that mount? Where did they come from? Spirit of just men made perfect in heaven. God says Christians are coming to Mount Zion. The assembly room includes the spirit of men made just. Much more could be said about that. Much more. Guess who's in the registry? We're talking registry, aren't we? The General Assembly, Church of the Firstborn, written in heaven. That's registry. Guess who's in it? Well, I believe this. I believe not only the Old Testament saints, their immaterial, their non-body self in heaven, spirit of just men made perfect, but I believe that registry also includes members of the church that have preceded us in glory. That's including people there right now in spirit, who preceded us. Now, prove it, preacher, thank you. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul said, I had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, didn't he? When a Christian dies, their soul, their spirit, goes to that great assembly room, so to speak. And God says, while we're living as Christians, though, we're come to Mount Zion. We're already associated with that crowd. God sees the registry in complete, actually. We just happen to be on earth. They're already in heaven. But God sees the registry. We're associated with Him. I'm associated right now in spirit, in a sense. Not, by the way, we're warned against ever trying to contact the spirits. We don't do that. That's non-biblical. God's not pleased in that. But I'll tell you who's in that registry. spirits of just men made perfect, but I believe the saints of God that have already left here, I can identify this morning in a spiritual way with peace in my heart as I am come to Mount Zion. I realize that already I can sense the fact there is a oneness, there is a unity, not only with my Savior, because I'm already risen with Him, so as the Bible says, but I can even identify right now with those saints of God that have already preceded me, such as my mom, my dad, my mother and my father-in-law, the different saints of God down through the ages that have died, Christians I'm talking about, they're a part of that registry. God says you're come to Mount Zion, to this assembly. You're identified. And what does Paul say one time? He talks about the church, doesn't he? He talks about the church, basically, to break it down in simple terms, made up of members, some already in heaven, some on the earth. They're already there. And the registry is not going to be destroyed. They're not going to be destroyed. You're come to Mount Zion. Then, finally, this morning, you're come in the person of your representative. The person of your representative, look at it please, into Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. To the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And then you notice something else here. Well, verse 23, and to God the judge of all, Bible says, you're come to Mount Zion, to that assembly, and included, and especially, to God the judge of all. I will point something out there that's not a threatening, condemning thing for the saint, but it's a comforting, encouraging thing. To God the judge. We're in the presence, Christians, this morning. We're in the presence of God, the judge, who discerns, who knows. Let me illustrate it like this. You know, we live in a condemning society, don't we? We live in a condemning society in a culture where everyone is a suspect. I tell you what, I'm 70 years of age, and I got to tell you this morning, I don't mind telling you, I've never seen a time that our culture, our society is as condemning as it is. Everybody, it seems like nowadays, are considered guilty until proven innocent. It ought to be the other way around. That's the way culture is. A person is looked upon as a suspect, guilty, until proven innocent. We hear of the continual slander and the allegations against our president, don't we? All the time. On the part of liberal politicians in the press. He's assumed guilty until proven innocent. It ought to be the other way around. But let me transition to my thought here, though. We are come to Mount Zion, to God, the judge of all. The saved are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that means they've been cleared. They have been cleared. The devil accuses the brethren, but God the righteous judge says not guilty. The devil accuses. In fact, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. The devil that hurls a slander. And sometimes the conscience says you're guilty. Sometimes people say you're guilty. But God, the righteous judge, He says you're innocent until proven guilty. Instead of you're guilty till proven innocent, He says you're innocent until proven guilty. And guess what? We will never be proven guilty if we're in Christ. Because the justice has already been served. The slate has been wiped clean. The blood of Jesus Christ has taken care of our sin debt. And when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, God judged His Son in our stead. And when we fled to Christ and was saved, the slate was wiped clean. And God says, God as much as says, you're innocent until proven guilty. And no one will ever prove guilt, because who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I'll tell you what this morning, pardon me, if I could, if I didn't have arthritis, I'd jump and shout right now. Oh, my friend, you're come to Mount Zion. Oh, what a blessing today to know that Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That song we sang, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And I love the part of that song that says, that talks about lost in His love. Lost in His love. I'm telling you, if you can get lost in God's love, it must be awful deep. It must be awful high. It must be awful wide. You can get lost in it. But again now, look at the text. Look at the text. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, covenant of grace, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I'm glad coming to Mount Zion means the Christians in the presence of the righteous judge that knows our account, knows our slate, knows when we got saved, knows that we've been cleared. And I'll tell you, before God could ever judge us, He'd have to judge His Son, because we're accepted in His Son. The only way a Christian can lose our salvation, Jesus would have to be banished from heaven and sent back to this earth to die again. And He'll never have to do it. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Jesus said, it's finished. And you can take it to the bank. We are come to Mount Zion. Closing this morning, I know it went a couple minutes over, but please notice it says, the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood spoke of vengeance, but Jesus' blood speaks of forgiveness. Abel's blood testified to the offense of one, namely Cain. But Jesus' blood testifies to the offense of all sinners, but they can be cleared by coming to Christ. Jesus' blood speaks of sacrifice, of satisfaction, of substitution. His blood speaks of acceptance, of adoption, of security. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You're come to the person of your representative. You're safe in Him. Yes, we are not come to Mount Sinai. We're come to Mount Zion. Rejoice today in the privileges of grace. Thank God today for your acceptance in the Beloved. Realize that in Jesus Christ, the great sin debt has been paid. And my friend, you haven't sinned so far, but what the blood of sprinkling, the blood of Christ can't redeem you this morning. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. You can go out of this building today with your slate clean. And I'll tell you, if you'll trust Christ today, the judgment that fell on Jesus Christ and took care of your sin debt could mean that the righteousness of Christ can be applied to you. And you, my friend, also will be able to go into Mount Zion, like most of us in this building are. Bow your heads in prayer, please.